Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello!
Hello!
And happy 200th!
The big 200.
Here we are.
Too many O's then. 200. No, it's the right amount. Start again.
Annabelle was saying to me before we started that you're worried about your short-term memory.
Oh, dear.
Here we are, episode 200. This milestone, this landmark occasion.
Yep.
It's too many, really, we know that.
Too many. Not enough.
Do you think, because of course, like famously, the Beatles only released 12 albums when they were together. There were only ever 12 episodes of Fawlty Towers.
Oh.
I think there were 14 episodes of The Office. J.D. Salinger, Marcel Proust. These were prolific writers, Sylvia Plath, but they only each released one actual novel.
I feel embarrassed by 200 now, like we got carried away with ourselves. Oh. Yeah.
Edvard Munch only ever did one painting.
Just one?
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
The Scream?
Yeah. So think of another one. You can't, can you?
Right. He must have just done one. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I do worry. I do worry that, a bicentennial is almost too much, isn't it? Remember Australia having a bicentennial?
Felt ancient, didn't it?
Yes. Now, admittedly, that was 200 years, not 200 episodes, but let's not split hairs here. No. But thank you. Thank you for being with us for as many of those as you have. And so many great memories. Unlucky.
Yep.
The live show in Hebden Bridge.
Oh.
That really was such a high point for me. I loved it so much. And I loved the fact that it was on a weekend. It was this beautiful sunny weekend. And then as we were going out about our business, we'd see drifters in the street the next day.
Yeah.
We sort of took over the village, it felt like, a little bit.
And we had Lynn Barron with us.
We did.
Amazing trio.
Yeah. It was so wonderful. And what a great night. And yet... we haven't thought about doing another one, have we?
Well, COVID hit, didn't it?
Of course it did. Yeah. Of course it did. I'm trying to think what were the high spots there were.
I enjoyed The Secret Waiter. That was a good time. Secret Waiter,
yeah. That time you told a story about having to defecate in the street. It was a real high point for me. But I just wanted to say, thank you again for listening to Adrift. I think that even if I won the Euro Millions, this is the one thing that I currently do that maybe I would still do.
That's a lovely thing to say.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'd do this on my super yacht.
As long as you're
I'd send a helicopter
yacht.
For you.
Gold headphones.
Yeah. I think it would probably be pivoted more to the super rich. Socially awkward super rich. Yeah. Oligarch stories of their uncomfortable interactions.
They probably want something like this and no one's given it to them.
Well, we're here.
Yeah, we're here. You want to invest.
Yeah. I still love hearing all the stories from drifters. I still love trying, sometimes failing, but always trying to help with the quandaries. I still love all Annabelle's bits. I could live without my bits, really. I could take or leave them.
Well, we couldn't. So.
Well, I don't know about that. I worry that I've become Chevy Chase.
What do you mean?
So Chevy Chase, I think the received wisdom about him is that he was really good and funny, and then just he sort of stopped being funny overnight.
Overnight?
Well, I don't know if it was overnight.
Right,
but
it seemed that way. Yeah. And then he carried on and on, and 200 episodes later.
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. I haven't really closely followed his career since the halcyon days of National Lampoon's European Vacation and Christmas Vacation. Normal Vacation, which I don't think it was called the Normal Vacation when they went to one. Anyway, but I do worry about that a little bit. And then I was Googling him before. Chevy's name isn't Chevy Chase.
It's not? What is it?
Cornelius.
Cornelius Chase?
Mm-hmm.
Cornelius.
Yeah. And here's another thing about him. His mum was an adopted daughter of the Vanderbilts.
Wow,
so
really?
So he's from high society.
Wow.
And I think that something that occurred to me about him recently was, remember he was in the Three Amigos with Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Right.
Now, those two are always doing stuff together. They tour together. They've been in films together. They have a new series together, which I haven't seen, but I imagine it might be the sort of thing you could get into. Do you know about it?
No.
It's Martin Short, Steve Martin, and Selena Gomez. They are three people who live in an apartment building and they are obsessed with true crime podcasts.
Oh.
And a murder happens in their building and they decide to both simultaneously start a podcast and solve the murder.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Doesn't it sound great? But anyway, the point is there were three amigos. They're clearly two very good amigos.
Oh.
But not Chevy. He's not in that show with. They've ditched him for Selena Gomez.
What happened there, do you think?
Well, we know what happened.
He went unfunny.
He stopped
overnight.
Being funny overnight, yeah. Oh. He lost his funny mojo. So anyway, I've got quite sidetracked there, haven't we? But we're 200 episodes in and we really appreciate you being there. And if you're one of our Patreon supporters, have a little idea of something we might do, which I'll tell you about later because we need to get back on it with that. And it seemed like the 200th episode was a good time to restart.
Mm-hmm.
Post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. Just one quick little driftery thing from me before we get into your contributions. When's your bin day?
It is Tuesdays.
Ours is Monday.
Okay.
Sometimes the bin men, I'm not sure I'm supposed to still call them the bin men.
Refuse collectors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where I know that I'm wrong and I know that I should pivot to using the right language, but I'll miss saying it.
I said refuse collectors, like that's what I say and don't go bin men. So I still say bin men.
And I don't, you know, I, when I say it, I don't mean it in any kind of derogatory way. Like,
it's just,
yeah, you know, there is, I get it. It's not a very nice phrase, bin men. Like they're some kind of subspecies.
Yeah.
Living like stick of the dump. I don't mean it like that.
I'd like to speak to a refuse collector and ask them what they think because I don't want to speak for them. Maybe they don't care.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that is an interesting thing, but they surely should be able to.
I'll see the secret bin man soon.
Oh, I'd love that.
Let's do that. I'd love that.
Well, let me tell you something. So I am. I have noticed that they sometimes, and I can't quite work out why, don't take our bin bags.
Yep.
So I see everybody else's bin bags are out on the street and they've left ours in the bins. And that makes me think, what am I doing wrong with my bins that the neighbours aren't doing? So then, very late on a Sunday night, because ours is Monday morning, our bin day, I'll skulk around looking at the neighbours' bins.
See what they're
not
doing.
Rummaging. Yeah. Try and see what they've done.
Yeah.
But it still seems to have no bearing on whether the refuse collectors take the bins or not.
It's like you could be talking about me. This has happened to me so much. And I don't know why I've been singled out.
No. So the thing is, I don't know how to have that conversation with them without sounding aggressive.
Do you want to know what I did?
What?
Email the council.
And what did you say?
I can go on the website and report it. In fact, I don't have to speak to
anyone. I don't want to get them in trouble.
Oh, I did.
I want to know what I'm doing wrong so that I can correct my behaviour.
Right.
Unless it is a personal vendetta against me, which of course I think it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they've taken against me and my family for some reason. There's something about our house they don't like the look out of. But if it is just that I'm positioning my bin slightly wrongly, then I'm happy to rectify that. But I wouldn't want to raise it with the council just in case they got in trouble.
Right, and they hated you even more.
Yes.
Which is probably what happened to me.
Yes.
That's why mine never get picked up. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But what I was going to say is my next door neighbour in the university holidays for I think several years used to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe he could talk to us.
Yeah.
Although I think we want somebody who's still got skin in the game, don't we? Mm. It could have changed a lot in the 20 years or whatever it's been.
Oh, right. Yeah. We need some more recent than that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there could be the major recycling is a major factor in all this.
Massive.
I'd love to know if you do that job, who the awful people are.
Mm.
And is it possible that we are being singled out?
Is it annoying?
Maybe they've heard me saying the phrase bin man.
But maybe this is what it is. Me too. I want to know if it's annoying if mid while they're doing it, I come out of the house with a bin bag and try and put it like in the back of the lorry. Is that annoying to them? Because I've missed it, but I want to bring it out.
Oh, so you're chasing the dust cart down the street.
Yeah, yeah.
I love saying dust cart.
Yeah, I could tell, yeah.
The bin lorry.
Is there a dolly on it?
Yeah. You're chasing it down the street and you're trying to hurl it in.
Yeah, or even just pass it to them. He's like, is that annoying? Probably. I've answered my own question, I feel.
But... It sounds like it would be annoying, but why should it?
Yeah, why? I just want to get this last one.
Because they've got a system that they're working to. It's difficult, isn't it? Mm. Anyway, I don't know how to have that conversation with the refuse collectors without it sounding like I'm criticising them, when in actual fact, I just want to know what I've done wrong so that I can be pleased. Because all I am is needy. I just want them to like me.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be singled out as one of the bad ones.
Well, if you're a refuge collector, get in touch if you want to be the secret.
They heard you nearly say bin man.
I know.
We all do.
If you want to be the secret bin man or woman, then let us know.
Can I, just before we go any further, just tell them something that happened just before we started recording?
Yeah.
Annabelle was talking about what she'd done over the last couple of weekends and that you were supposed to be going out this weekend, but you might not.
Yeah, yeah.
And in your... this is an evening out, a night out, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in the list of reasons she gave me why she thought she might cancel was, it's dark. Which sort of goes with the territory of being out in an evening, one would have thought.
No, but it made me feel more
tired.
I
can't go out at night time. It's dark.
It made me feel tired.
You know, you're not a pensioner.
It did feel that way. I thought, oh, it's dark now. I'm too tired now. Now the sun's gone down, I've got no energy left.
All right, then, let's be having some stories from drifters. Drifters.
From Tess, first of all. I'm probably not driftery in some ways. I'm extroverted, love meeting new people, etc.
Oh, I had a question on this, just before, I don't mean to butt in,
that's
Tess,
right,
but I was saying to Sarah the other day, do you think it is possible to be an extrovert and socially awkward? So if we go for the definition of an extrovert as somebody who is energized by being around other people's company. No, that's not to say that's what they always want, but they're energized by it. And an introvert is somebody who is drained by it. That's not to say they don't like other people's company, but they just need time to recharge.
Yeah.
Is it possible to be an extrovert and you get your energy from being around people, but you're not very good at it and you're aware that you're not very good at it, and you have that thing that we have as drifters in the moment where you're constantly looking at yourself from another angle and thinking about how, and evaluating how the conversation is going. I'm really interested to know if there are extroverted, socially awkward people, or if it is the preserve of the introvert.
I would say that yes, up to the point where you start worrying about it. Everything up to that point of being socially awkward, aware of you being socially awkward, but just not caring.
Oh, so you think they would be aware? Because that's the thing.
I think maybe. No, and even know that you're a bit awkward, you just don't care. I don't know.
Yeah. But awkward's a negative feeling. But you'd start. Anyway, we're getting too deep into that. But
let's move on.
Yeah.
So she says, sometimes my lack of filter in social situations has led to some very embarrassing moments, like when I asked the groom's mother at his wedding how she knew the groom. One afternoon, I was walking in a park with an old friend. For the purpose of this story, it's helpful to know there's a splash park for kids as part of this park. We were walking a small distance behind a couple. The lady was in a wheelchair with the man walking alongside her. I saw something on the ground and thinking the couple had dropped it, I sped up to catch up with them. Unfortunately, I did not check what it was first. Not quite sure how I didn't notice, but I was very keen to help. So somehow the actual identity of the object passed me by. I arrived at the couple's side and proffered the object with a cheery, "I think you must have dropped this." I was met with a look of confusion and, well, to be honest, disgust. And I realised that it was a pair of bikini bottoms and a children's pair at that, which must have been from a girl's at the splash park. Apart from me feeling horrified, I blanked out the rest of the interaction that followed and my attempt to explain my mistake. However, my friend couldn't stop laughing for the rest of the afternoon.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, weird associations. We've got some more of these.
Yeah, okay.
Annie says, probably about 25 years ago, I used to read a weekly children's newspaper supplement, which on one occasion featured an interview with the twin stars of the Sweet Valley High TV series. They asked both sisters the same set of questions to see if their answers would be similar or different. And one question was about whether they squeezed the toothpaste tube at the top or bottom end. I clearly recall that the second Tim replied, "I just grab it in the middle." Though I don't know why my brain felt this was important information to retain for the rest of my life when I can barely remember anything I learnt at school. Anyway, I still think of those twins every time my toothpaste is running low and I'm squeezing the last bits from the bottom of the tube.
So weird.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I love that.
And this is from Andrew J. Coleman, who says, "I would never normally write in and tell anybody about this, but after listening to episode 198 and things that pop into your head, I feel I'm not alone anymore, so I'd like to share. For at least 15 years now, whenever I hear an American on TV say the word duty, I shout out duty. As usually the American accent always makes the word duty sound like doody. I think it came from watching an episode of Friends where Chandler mentions in a job interview the interviewer said doody when he actually said duty. I thought this was hilarious and it stayed locked away in the back of my noggin, but it's got to the point where it has become involuntary. To make things worse, whenever I hear someone talking and then use a similar sentence to, well, if you do that, then we will have to let them know, for example, then I blurt out the words do. My wife finds this really amusing and is always waiting with anticipation for me to say it, even though most of the time I'm trying to hold it in, although it always seems to find a way out. I guess it's some kind of tick and it wouldn't be so bad if I could just think it and not speak the words. Some of the glances I get from some people as if to say, did I hear that right? Did he just say duty? I should add that I'm a 50-year-old HGV tanker driver and this is the most immature thing ever. And this is from Sarah. She says, whenever I have a social interaction that I think went well, I think back to this story that I'm about to tell you and I'm instantly reminded of how socially inept I am. I live in northern Canada in the province of Saskatchewan. 3 years ago, Uber finally opened here in the middle of winter and my husband and I decided to try it out for the first time and take one to dinner. It was minus 52 degrees outside and so getting into a warm car instead of waiting for our own to warm up was a nice change. My desperate need for strangers to like me overtook my fear of small talk and I asked our driver where he was from as he had a lovely accent. He replied that he came to Canada as a refugee from Afghanistan, his family having fled the war some years ago. I replied with what can only be described as the world's worst response. I still want to crawl into a hole and die when I think about the words that came out of my mouth.
Oh no.
I said, "Oh, I bet you wish you were back there with weather like this."
Oh no.
What was I thinking? That he'd rather be facing death than driving me to dinner? Was I picturing Afghanistan as some sort of tropical paradise? What had possessed me to utter those words? My husband, not on the adrift spectrum, looked at me like he was mentally drawing up divorce papers. The driver did not let me off easily and gave me a thorough talking to about how when he was growing up, the ink in their pens froze at school because there was no heat at the school. He looked at me in the rearview mirror and said, "You cannot complain. You sleep in a warm bed in a warm house without fear."
God.
I have never been more ashamed in my entire life. Even the weather is not a safe topic for me. It has taken me 3 years to work up the courage to even write to you and relay this horrific interaction. In any Uber I've taken since, I have not once said anything other than good evening and thank you. So bad.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Mortifying, but I think like We've all been there or thereabouts,
yes,
at various times,
yes,
is all I can give you on that one, Sarah. Well, thank you for those. And as ever, if you have a contribution for the podcast, be it the weird associations that are stuck in your head every time you do something and the little rituals that you have, or your stories of small talk gone wrong, always good. It is hello@adriftpodcast.com. Annabelle.
Yes.
Shall we have another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult?
Let's. So it was my son's birthday recently.
I remembered this year.
You did. Lovely present. Thank you very much. And he'd been mentioning for ages that he wanted a party, which I agreed to. I was thinking something very simple and small at home with pass the parcel and a jelly. But then the two preceding weekends were filled with his two other friends' fourth birthday parties, both his neighbours. The first one was a garden party. It had a bouncy castle. Massive success. Everyone loved it. The second one was a bowling party. Nobody broke a toe despite around 83 heavy balls being dropped. Once again, big success. So I'm feeling under pressure now. And like my previous plan that was centred solely around pass the parcel was not enough. So what I did was I bought a big tank of helium and loads of balloons. And I'm like, what's not to like there? Like, yeah, kids love helium balloons. I got some animal head ones. I got some plain ones. And I got these walking ones. I don't know if you've seen them, but it's like animals and dinosaurs. And they're filled with helium, but they've got like feet, paper feet on them. So they kind of walk around on the ground.
I've never seen those.
They're amazing. Anyway, so Rudy's really excited about this.
And sorry. I forgot to turn my phone off. So Rudy was excited.
Yeah. The pass the parcel, I have to say, was a bit weird because Tom said he wanted to organise that. Now, pass the parcel, when you're thinking about organising this, what are you thinking of using to wrap each layer of present?
Newspaper
or wrapping paper. Mm. Right, so we'd had a lot of deliveries for Rudy's birthday and Tom decided to do each layer as an Amazon box, starting huge and getting smaller.
It's nice to know that you're saving your Amazon boxes.
Well, because we hadn't like got around to crushing them yet. So there's a small circle of four-year-olds trying to pass this massive Amazon box around. Like they're all working in the warehouse. And they couldn't open it on their own. It was very weird. Anyway, that went well. The helium balloons went well. We only lost three balloons to the sky, the ladybird, unicorn and a pig head. But I think like it's nice for people to see them floating above them. I'm trying not to think of any potential environmental impact. But because we only lost three and I'd done loads, we had a lot of helium balloons in the flat. And then Rudy ripped off the feet of all the walking ones. So now they're all on the ceiling as well. And then the first one to start to deflate was the horse, which started hanging around at kind of face level around the flat, which like in itself was a bit weird. And then I started to feel sorry for it because it was always floating head downwards. And I've got a bit of a fear about this, about being stuck at the top of a theme park ride upside down, which is an irrational fear because I don't go on theme park rides. But I kept thinking about all the blood rushing to his little equine head. So I started trying to turn him the right way up whenever I walked past him, which is insane in itself. And it didn't work because he just always bobbed back upside down again. So I started holding him for a bit the right way up to at least give him a bit of a break. I soon realised it was ridiculous. So I stopped doing it. And then I was at the table having dinner one evening. I want you to imagine now a real horse trying to get your attention. What would it do?
It would whinny. It'd nod its head.
Would it maybe nudge you with its nose?
It would nudge me with its nose,
right.
Yeah.
No word of a lie. The helium horse started to do it to me. He bobbed towards me and started nudging at my shoulder. So I found myself eating my dinner with one hand while using the other to hold the helium balloon horse upright, like kind of like a baby, for all of dinner. And when I finished it, I thought, enough is enough. I've got to let it go. And I tried to forget that it ever happened. And I thought no more of it until it was time to go to bed. And when I went into my bedroom, helium horse had made its way from the living room down the hallway into the bedroom and was hovering about my bed, like hovering over it. And I'm kind of horrified because maybe it just wanted to be cuddled all night. But what if, much worse, it had fallen in love with me and wanted some adult fun times? Doing it with a helium balloon, especially not a horse one, pig maybe. So I did the only thing I could. I got a gun and shot it. Not really. I just gently carried it back to the living room and said, not tonight, darling. Still around. enough helium's gone now that it just bobs on the floor, but it's lying down now, so it's not upside down. So I guess it just lives with the snail.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Couple of bits of business to get through. Episode 200. Now is a good time for us to be able to do some stuff for Patreon supporters again. We're back doing the podcast face to face after doing it on Zoom for a long time. We can move around in the world in a way that we weren't able to, you know, in over the past 18 months. So I thought it's about time we did another video following the great success of your tour of Snaresbrook.
Right.
Now, I'm not expecting Tom to do this pro bono.
Right.
Nor am I offering to pay him. I mean, we can do it ourselves.
Okay.
And I've got two ideas. Mm-hmm. Feel free to add a third or a fourth, but this is what I've whittled it down to.
Okay.
And I thought we would let our Patreon supporters decide which they would rather say.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The first one is some kind of come dine with me thing.
Yes.
Where we each have the other one over to our house and cook them a meal, and the other has to rate and review it, and maybe there's some form of entertaining that you have to do as well.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
The second one is like a Mr. and Mrs. thing where we have to answer questions about the other one whilst they're not present.
Mm-hmm.
And then see whether our answers tally up with their answers.
Great, okay.
So, for example, if somebody said to me, what is Annabelle's favourite fruit? And I said tomato, then we'd have to check that you'd answered the same thing to that question.
Okay.
As I say this out loud, I think people are definitely going to go with the come dine with me one.
I don't know, we'll see.
I think the production values would be better on the Mr. and Mrs. one is all I'm saying.
Right.
And, you know, unless Tom did it pro bono, which I'm not expecting him to.
Wow.
We'll see. So those are the two things. What would you rather see? Is my question to you. If you are a Patreon supporter, message us, let us know. And that's the first thing we'll do for you in the new era.
Will my kitchen be filmed? Because I'll have to start cleaning it now.
I have a video on my phone of you switching on your new
Fridge, yes.
For the first time, yeah.
Yes.
It's weird that I haven't deleted that.
Well, why would you? It's
exciting.
I very
rarely delete anything from anywhere, but especially cameras. And I videoed it for Tom because he wasn't there to see your new fridge being switched on.
Because I think, for some context, I had to wait 6 hours, didn't I, after they delivered it. For some reason, I had to let the gas
settle. There's a cooling off period.
Yeah. And so we did this countdown to when I could switch it on. And I was very excited because I hadn't had a fridge for a week.
Maybe we could release that video too.
Yeah, I think that'll have less
so like support. The gold tier of Patreon supporter.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see which they prefer. I think in America they call Mr. and Mrs. something different, maybe the Newlyweds game or something like that.
Okay.
Just in case you're listening in a country other than the UK and it was called something different where you were, it might be that. If it's in a non-English language, I don't have the linguistic abilities all the time to have made a list, but that's the general idea. It's seeing if we know each other as well as we think we do.
Mm.
Or is it a come dine with me style spectacular, which involves us hosting each other, preparing meals and laying on a wonderful evening of hospitality?
Mm.
Let us know. And please do find us on Patreon. If you don't already support us on there, we'd love you too. If you're able to, it helps keep the podcast going, and we greatly appreciate the people who do. Everybody gets a title bestowed upon them by Annabelle, So if you haven't heard us mention Patreon before, that's what that is. Okay. Thing number two, very quickly, there'll be no podcast next week. I am working in Oxford. I'm doing a breakfast show on some radio stations, the Jack radio stations, which are available across the UK. They're national stations, Union Jack. There's three of those. And then there's three local ones in Oxford. It was on all the radio stations at the same time. Mm. I was saying to Annabelle earlier, I've never done one of those before where you're playing, say, Careless Whisper on one station and I'm a Twisted Firestarter on the other.
Mm.
I don't understand how to do it. So if you want to see a man flailing at that very thing, hear a man flailing at that very thing, I'll be doing that on the radio next week, Monday to Friday, 7 till 9 a.m., which means there'll be no podcast next week. Okay. Let me tell you something that happened to me at the weekend.
Okay.
I was on the tube with my son. Something my son does not enjoy is the sound that an underground train makes in the tunnel as it's, I don't know if it's applying its brakes or whatever, but that horrible screeching sound.
It's horrible, yeah.
And to the extent that it was putting him off going on the tube.
Okay.
Which isn't great when you live in London.
Mm.
I hit upon the idea of giving him my noise-cancelling headphones and letting him listen to his playlist. He's got a Spotify playlist while he's on the tube, which he now loves. The problem is that he sings along with his playlist. So I'm constantly miming.
It's not a problem. It's not a problem.
It's not a problem for me. And it wouldn't be for a problem for me if I heard another kid like, singing Smells Like Teen Spirit tunelessly, just sort of random words. But I can see how it would be annoyance for some people. Anyway, so we're doing this last week. We're on an underground train and we're on one of the ones where it's two seats facing one way and then two seats facing the other, like in a conventional train, you sort of opposite somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene was sat next to somebody else. Gene is listening to his playlist. He's got his headphones on and he's rocking his head and he's kind of bopping along with his music. The guy he is sitting next to is also wearing headphones. So there's like this friendly look between the three of us and they kind of smile at each other and do a bit of, you know, the guy gives a rock and roll sign and Gene does it back and it's all very nice.
That's nice.
So I'm happy.
Mm.
I've had a warm interaction without actually having to speak because the guy's wearing headphones. I'm not having to worry about keeping my son entertained because he's listening to music.
Mm.
And I'm just sitting, enjoying the ride, literally enjoying the ride. Then the guy opposite gets his phone and I can instantly tell what he's doing. He's positioning it to take a selfie of himself and Gene, both wearing headphones and rocking out to music.
Okay.
And then I feel like I'm in a really difficult position because I'm not entirely comfortable. Not because I think there's anything sinister in it. I just think as a matter of principle, I think it's a bit weird to take a photo of somebody else's child.
Mm-mm.
But because there's been this nice interaction between the two of them and Gene is clearly happy.
Yeah.
Am I going to say anything?
No, of course not.
No, I'm not.
No.
So the guy then gets his phone, puts it right in front of the two of them. They do like a peace sign to the camera, he takes the picture, he does another one. I hope it was because he wasn't satisfied with the way he looked rather than something about Gene, but yeah, that as may be. And I'm thinking, I can't say anything, but I'm not entirely comfortable with this. But I don't want to show any disapproval on my face because I just want him to like me.
Mm.
Then he turns the picture around, shows it to me. And even though I'm a bit weirded out that a stranger's just taken a picture of my child, I give him a big thumbs up.
Oh.
What's wrong with me?
What else can you do?
I don't know. I mean, it feels a bit weird, but it feels like I should have been able to do something else. I'm just too spineless and weak and awkward of a person to be able to do so. I don't know. Or maybe, do you think it's just fine?
I don't know because it is just fine, but it also, I would feel weird about it.
Because then the guy said, okay, as the train came to station, he said, okay, us two are just going to hang out for a bit. I'll drop him back here at 3.
And you were like,
we're just going to go off and get tattoos. And I didn't want him to feel awkward. So I went, oh, yeah, that's fine. We'll be here. So that's that. Do you remember me telling you there was quite an uncomfortable man who came to fix our oven the other week?
Oh, yeah.
And my small talk was very bad with him, but he also was one of those people. He had to come back on Friday. And he did it. I tried to convey last time around, and I didn't do a very good job of it, a certain type of personality with whom it's excruciating to try and make that small talk. And I don't think I did a good job of it, but I think I've got the exact thing from this time.
Oh, yeah.
So as it happened, when he was here on Friday, I was really busy. I was having to run upstairs, record stuff for the other podcast, do interviews and do Zoom calls. And I explained to him, I said, I'm just on a work call at the moment. I'll leave you to it. And then I'll come down and when you're all done. So when he's all done, I come down and I have got the air of a man who's in a rush about me. Mm-hmm. He does not. He has a very slow, deliberate, I'm going to take my time and you're going to march to the beat of my drum here. Mm-hmm. So he explains in great detail what he's done to the oven. Don't understand a word of it, but I thought I've got to let him get it out of his system. Mm-hmm. I then pay him a painful amount of money.
Oh, really?
I was trying to think, like, what are the things that you've had to spend a lot of money on that there is absolutely no joy in at all?
Oh, God.
And replacement elements for an oven, I think, are pretty high on that list.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like my whole life is paying for things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then say, that's great. I've got to go back. I've got to dash back upstairs. But thank you very much. Hopefully that's that. He says, yeah, well, you probably won't see me again anyway.
Okay.
Do you not think that is indicative of an exhausting personality type? Somebody who makes a statement that you can't ignore because it's rude to not ask the follow-up question.
Yeah.
I said, oh, really? He said, yep, probably won't be doing this job very much longer. And I just need to go and carry on with my work. I've got somebody waiting on a Zoom. But, of course, I can't then not say anything. I can't then go, oh, well, good luck in the future and go. Because he's making these statements that passive-aggressively beg for a follow-up question. So then I have to say, are you retiring then? I went, nope. Going, I'll be having an operation.
Oh, right.
And then you have to say, like, what operation?
I can't just leave it there.
No.
Oh.
That person, that exact personality type. And it reminded me of when Annabelle and I used to do a breakfast show years ago. And when we used to do the late night show, because it was out of hours, work would pay for taxis to come and pick us up. Minicabs, as they call them in London. And there was one particular guy who I'm sure, as I was describing this guy, he's exactly the one you're thinking of, who his entire personality was based around dropping these things in. You wouldn't want to talk. It'd be 5 a.m. or 4 a.m, whenever you were getting up and you just didn't want to talk. And he would drop these conversational bombs that begged for a follow-up.
The effort to bother to say, oh, where are you going? Like the effort of like, I don't care. It's 4 a.m. I don't care. Yeah. Like, but I know I've got to say it, so I'm going to force myself. Oh, God.
And so he would always say, well, this is probably the last you'll see of me. And you couldn't then go, oh, well, it's been nice knowing you. Best of luck for the future.
No.
You're like, why is that then? It's like, I've had enough with this job. I'm going back to roofing. Or something about his back.
Don't.
It's such an annoying trait. Say what you want to say. Ask people some questions, but don't force people into making excruciating small talk that they don't want to make with you by painting them into a conversational corner.
He once tried to get me to sponsor him for this dartathon thing that he was doing in the park. And it was like 6 hours playing darts. I just thought, no, that is called going to the pub. I'm not sponsoring you to go to the pub. I said, no.
I think I've told this story before. But in the very early days of text messages being a thing, to the extent that I think the BBC did a show called The Joy of Text, where they devoted a whole BBC Saturday night, BBC One schedule to texting and how much fun it is and what you could ill-advised. But anyway, do you remember there was a trend, and I'm sure it still exists on WhatsApp, of people just sending around jokes? Mm-hmm. So because this guy had my phone number, because when he arrived to pick me up in the morning, he'd ring to say I'm outside. He then added me onto his list of people to send his jokes round to.
Right.
And then I start receiving not only bad jokes, but also like racist jokes.
Oh, dear.
Okay, oh, I've got to address this. I've got, don't want to, but I have to for the sake of my own integrity. And so I text him and say his name. Oh, thanks a lot for trying to share some laughs, but I don't really enjoy racist jokes.
Oh, good for you. Good, yeah.
And then he sends a text back saying, no worries, I'll leave you off the racist ones.
Oh, God.
So in his head, it's okay. He knows that they're racist jokes. Yes. It's okay to make racist jokes. And he's just been considerate towards me.
This is astonishing.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
Oh.
It was quite something. We used to have strange relationships. I mean, talk about the most socially awkward moments of my life. I think some of them were with those drivers. Mm-hmm. And some of them would just take against you.
Yeah.
There was one guy, I think, who disliked me so intensely. And I don't know why. I mean, not that I think I'm that likable, but there wasn't enough.
There wasn't one incident, yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't anything to really take against me apart from just myself, which maybe is enough reason. I sometimes think it is. But that he would turn very fast death metal music up extremely loud at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm not even convinced that he liked that music.
Just did it to annoy
you.
Wow.
And similarly, sometimes he would drive so fast that I would fear for my own life. And I don't know that that was just the way that he drove or that he was willing to risk death to scare me.
Right. Probably. Yeah.
Do you remember there was one who wouldn't park in front of your house?
Hated me so. Why did he hate me so? I think there was a reason why he hated me. But he would, there would be up to 10 free spaces for him to park outside my house. And he would park like 150 metres up the road and just sit and wait there. And I'd have to walk. Like, you know, 3:45 in the morning, I'd have to walk up the road like to get into the car. And then he would drive so slowly around corners. It was like we're barely moving. I said, why is he doing this?
He would just let the rotation of the earth move you around the corner.
Yeah, yeah. And he would do really weird things with the windows. He hated me as well. Why did he hate me?
I don't know. It would be good to know. I mean, I guess if you are one of those people, you're probably not also a drifter. But are there passive-aggressive things you do in your job? If there's a customer you really hate.
Yes, yes.
Like, are you a taxi driver? Do you ever do these things?
Yeah,
out
what
of
are
the
things?
Spite
yeah.
that we suggest?
Mm. Yeah, I'd like to hear some of those.
Mm. Anyway, the email address is hello@adriftpodcast.com. All right, Annabelle, quandary corner at the GLAP clinic here in Problematic.
Okay, the first one is from Andy. He does finish this with saying that this was a few years ago and he can tell us what he did do, but he'd like to know
He wants to know if he did the right thing.
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah. My parents are now into their late 60s and live 4 hours away from me. A few years ago, my father had surgery on one of his legs, leaving him homebound for most of the 6 weeks while his leg healed. During one of the many visits to see him, I set up access to our Netflix account because he was bored and did not have an online platform. By giving him a profile attached to our account, it would give him something to watch while he recovered from surgery. A few weeks later, my wife asked me about a random profile on our account. She noticed whomever was using it watched some questionable programming. Questionable meaning adult themed, or in my wife's words, porn. Knowing I set this profile up for my dad, I know who was watching it. What would you suggest I do? Since this was a few years ago, I can give you what I did. I called my parents, told them our Netflix account was hacked and that we'd had to close it, which we did. And my sister ended up setting a profile for them on her account. So they went to the lens of closing down their Netflix account, which I think would probably have been something we would have suggested.
That's so brilliant.
Yeah.
It would have taken me a while to get there, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, with that, anything which would even risk the slightest chance of an acknowledgement between you and your father that he was in any way sexual. It would be, I mean, so terrifying. I think I would have initially just said, oh, port protocol. This is a classic port protocol.
Yeah, just never mention it.
Situation.
Yeah, that would be my first thing. Don't never
I mean,
mention
part
it.
Of me is wondering how puritanical your wife is, because
it's Netflix.
Yeah,
it's not like there's a few documentaries set in the sex
really
industry.
What are you watching on there for titillation? The joy of sex? Is it educational documentaries about your techniques? Techniques.
This is a horrible word.
I feel like you opened the floodgates earlier by saying if I was going to do it, I wouldn't do it with a balloon horse.
True. I would go with a pig. But anyway, yes. There isn't anything hardcore on Netflix, is there? It's all, but there are a few documentaries, I think. I mentioned this because I noticed that Tom saved one to our list. And I thought, oh, you've got some funny ideas going on. We're not going to be watching that.
I don't know about the erotic viewing habits of people, but just like I am constantly surprised there are still adult magazines, It is surprising to me that people would be going to Netflix to find that type of content in this day and age. Mm-hmm. It seems rather... Or things like that. Things like the Babe Station still exist.
Does it?
I believe so. I mean, I haven't checked on this, but I believe there are, if you go up high enough in the channels on your TV, you will still find those ones and the 10-minute previews at midnight. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this hasn't existed since 2005. But anything that isn't the... I don't know what you would call it. Pandora's box clearly isn't the right phrase. But, you know, whatever portal to hell you'd be opening on the internet. I suppose maybe it's just that. People don't want to venture into the wilderness of the internet, so they'd rather seek something out in the safe space of Netflix, maybe.
Quite sweet, I think. But I think I would...
Soft erotica.
Yeah, I'd certainly say pretend that it never happened, or close your account if your wife finds it that unsavoury.
I think a lot of the Red Triangle films are on 4OD. All four.
How do you know that?
I don't. I just wanted to try and... I thought I've been a bit dull there. I'll try and get a cheap laugh by mentioning Red Triangle films, I'll be honest. Like just a lazy retro reference.
Well, sure lots of people enjoyed that.
The Red Triangle films?
No.
Femrock.
You're mentioning them now. Femrock, is that the name of one of them?
It's the only one I remember. I don't know if it was the first one they ever showed, but obviously, and I'm, you know, not the first person to say this, like by putting it, this was something Channel 4 did in the 80s. If they were going to show material with adult content, which usually meant like a soft sex film, a soft sex scene within a foreign film, that's a foreign language film, they had a red triangle in the corner of the screen so that if you were offended by that kind of thing, you would know to turn off. But it was like a beacon for teenage boys who didn't have access to the kind of thing that teenagers have access to these days. So Femrock is the one that springs to mind, but I don't know if it was the first one.
That would be nice. Someone would be like, I remember. That would be nice them to hear.
I've wondered. Oh, God, this is really a drifty, but I'll go with the thought anyway. If maybe a pornographer, there would be a business model in doing like nostalgic erotica. Like the erotica we knew and loved in the past. You know, you get that channel, what's it called? What's that channel called, which just shows old films and they're really good old films?
TMC?
Yeah, it's not that one. It might be called Talking Pictures. There's a really, really good one that just some fella owns and has bought the rights to show these films, and it's really good. But I then thought, I wonder if like a pornographer could make money by having these dated old films that people... would get some kind of nostalgic rush for the younger, like a Proustian rush.
Yes.
Marcel Proust getting two mentions on today's podcast in very different contexts. I'd always said Proust, but I hear Proust more these days.
Okay, don't ask me. I don't know.
Anyway, I feel like we've gone a long way off piste here.
Yeah, we've gone all the way to nostalgic pornography.
But if somebody hears that and the little light bulb has gone off over your head and you think, yeah, that's where I'm going to try and make my fortune.
Yep.
Remember your old mate Lloydie with his insight that maybe some people would love to see the blue movie that they watched, you know, when they were 16 or something. They'd love to see it again.
Yeah. And if they make a lot of money from it,
yeah,
send the check your way.
Could be a passive income.
We all want a passive income.
Yeah.
Right, Kirsty says, a couple of weeks ago, I joined a new gym, mainly to use the pool, and I've gone there most days since. There are 6 sun loungers by the side of the pool and hooks on the wall. Today, all the hooks were taken, so I opted to leave my towel on the back of an empty chair, a couple of seats down from a gentleman that I know well enough to say, give a hello nod to. I got in the pool, stretched and began to swim. Halfway down my first length, I turned my head only to see an older gent heading straight to the chair my towel was on. Obviously, he'd see the international sign for occupied seat and be on his way. No. Not only did he sit on the chair, he lay down with his head on my towel. A stranger's head on my towel. It goes without saying, I did nothing about this. I vaguely tried to catch the eye of the man that I know, hoping he'd say something, or that anyone would say something. It was a purple towel on a black chair. The gym towels are white. So not only did it stand out against the chair, it was very clearly a personal towel from home. Please help me. What should I have done? It's possible it could happen again. Do I stand up in the pool and shout? Speak to the reception? What do I do?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm way out of my depth with this. What do you think?
Well, I think what any reasonable person will do is nothing. Mm. Get out of the pool. Don't use the towel. Dry yourself off with some paper towels. Take the towel home. Bleach it. Bin it. Burn it. But is there a better option?
Well, is this... How often does this situation arise? Is the...
It sounds like often the hooks are there. I mean, is it... Was it okay to put it on a... I'm just saying, was it okay to put it on the chair? Did he ever write because it was on the chair that it was him to sit on?
Oh, so do you think it was a hostile act in response to what he felt was inappropriate behaviour?
She could have...
It was a retaliation.
Folded it on the floor? I don't know. I'm just thinking aloud.
I don't know.
I'm thinking aloud. Not been to a pool for a while. I do think that he didn't have to put his head on it.
Can you give me the stats again? How many hooks?
6 hooks.
And how many sun loungers?
I don't know. I've got my glasses on. I don't think she says, does she? Let's, you know, 6 sun loungers and hooks.
I mean, this is suggesting to me that this is a pool made for 6. But I don't know if that's true or not.
Maybe he didn't want to sit. Maybe it was the only chair he could sit on because he didn't want to sit too close to the other man. That would have been weirder. But he shouldn't have put his head on it, should he? Shouldn't have put his head on it. He's in the wrong, let's face it. Let's not beat around the bush.
No,
he shouldn't have sat down.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm even trying to think that he wasn't in the wrong. He was in the wrong, but what do you do? There's nothing you can do. You can't say anything, obviously. You could get out of the pool. I know what I might do, depending on my mood. Get out of the pool and then say, excuse me, and get it back off of him, and then hopefully he'll feel embarrassed that he was leaning on it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing to do, isn't it? Sort of apologetically saying, oh, that's actually my towel. And it is her towel from home.
Yeah.
Because you can't, that's the other thing, you can't mistake someone, well, I don't know, unless you've got the exact same types of towels that you would expect to find at a swimming pool.
No, hers is purple, the gym ones are white.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. It's difficult. We haven't really been much help here, but I'd probably do nothing. Or, depending on my mood, I might say, oh, sorry, can I just get
my towel? I know what I'd say. I'd get out of the pool and I'd say, oh, do you know, if you ask reception, they do have towels here at the gym. Which hopefully would then... The subtext would be, that's my towel. It's clearly not a gym towel. Look at it.
Or to stop him doing it again, what I might do is get out and very vigorously scratch at my pubic area to suggest that I had some kind of, I don't know, crabs or infection. And that would put him off putting his head against someone's towel.
Yeah. Does any part of you consider that he might have been a pervert?
Oh, none of me, no.
That's a possibility, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
That's his thing.
Then I would definitely revert back to the bleach, burn and bury. Yeah.
And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. If you have a quandary for Quandary Corner or anything else that we discussed earlier. You can email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. You can also find me and Annabelle on social meds. We have a Facebook page. I have to admit, I haven't checked that for a while. You did something on it the other week, though, so I guess you're au courant with what goes on there.
Yeah.
And of course, as we mentioned earlier, you can support us on Patreon and let us know which of those two Patreon options is the most appealing to you. Some kind of come dine with me or some kind of Mr. and Mrs. hello@adriftpodcast.com is the email address. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Kim Rainey, who I salute, not just for our artwork, but for the artwork on the Succession podcast, which she's done a fantastic job of. By the way, the Succession, if you're a fan of Succession, you will have heard me mention this, me and Sarah and I, somebody corrected my grammar the other day, are doing a podcast for the duration of this series of Succession, like an after show thing. It's called Firecrotch and Normcore, and Kim did the artwork for that. She's done a tremendous job. But the photos for this one, Adrift this is, were taken by Carla Gowlett. And once again, just wanted to say it's really something that we've got to episode 200 of this. What does that mean? Must mean for, well, we're 4 years in at this point, aren't we?
Yes.
Can you believe that? Where has that gone?
Wow.
Blink of an eye, Annabelle. So it is the delight doing this most weeks. You know, when the mental health is fine, it's a delight. Mm. And even when it isn't, you know, it's good to have a bit of structure, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm sorry for some of, you know, the drop in quality on those weeks, but but anyway, I really love doing this podcast, and I know Annabelle does too, and we really appreciate you listening. I just wanted you to know that it is always a joy and never a duty. Doody. All right, podication time. And the first one comes from Jennifer Zelinski. Often when I read what I think of as being like a Polish name, and I don't know if Zelinski is, but that's how it reads to me. Mm. I hear in my head like an angry police chief in an American drama saying, Zelinski, 24 hours and you're off the case. It's one of those names. Jennifer says, hello, I've been pondering over this podication for a while, and since you put out a plea for some, I thought I'd get in touch. Recently, I re-listened to old episodes, and I came upon the episodes just as we went into lockdown. There were a few people that had emailed in at that time with podications for new adventures. The couple I'm thinking about were just about to leave to travel the world. For some reason, this stuck with me throughout the pandemic, and I hope they either got somewhere or are replanning. In short, I would like a podication for them and everyone else that had plans scuppered in the last 18 months. There I go again.
You're crying. I think it's so sweet that she remembered them. I find that so lovely.
I think so. I think just it says something about Jennifer, which is really lovely. And then if you just think about it really simply, like Jennifer just put it there, it's... I know people have been through terrible, the worst things in this pandemic. And then there's a whole raft and kind of broken dreams and postponed plans is part of that. Mm. These are things that would be heartbreaking in ordinary circumstances, but perhaps people haven't felt like they can really be that sad about it publicly or talk about it because of everything else that's been happening. But yeah, I thought... That was lovely, Jennifer. Thank you. Zelinski.
Yeah.
And this from our friend Jack McMorrow. Love Jack. Mm-hmm. Jack wrote, you know, Jack is a super James Bond fan.
Yes.
He tweeted a link to a blog he'd written reviewing the new film. And it's so good. And his level of expertise is so good. It was quite something reading it, because I've been to see that film, really liked it, and then there's all this stuff that I've missed that he's able to point out. He's able to contextualize it with other Bond films. And just his, it was, anyway, it was very impressive. I think it's a real hard trick to pull off, to be able to write or talk about something that you are an expert in or just completely immersed in a way that is still interesting and engaging to the casual reader. Jack did a great job of that. Jack says, can I podcast this episode to two people I met at the age of 15 on their breakfast show in 2003 and age 20 in 2008, namely Annabelle Port and Jeff Lloyd?
That's us.
That is us. We were only 15 in 2003. God, were you that young, Jack? Jack says, to make it to 200 episodes is not something everyone can do. Ours has, but that's down to a pandemic. And for some reason, people enjoying us complaining about a wrestling show at 1 a.m. Oh, yeah, Jack's super into wrestling as well. So, it does make me think, like, so I think I've got no interest in wrestling, but then having read Jack's James Bond thing, I wonder if I was to listen to an episode of his podcast, actually it might be a way in for me.
You're looking for a way in?
I could become a late-in-life wrestling.
You could.
To become a late-in-life wrestler.
Less likely.
What? The librarian?
Okay, now I'm interested.
That's well-deserved podcast for you two, Jeff and Annabelle. Not you two who sang Sunday Bloody Sunday. Well, Jack, thank you for marking this occasion. As I said, 200 episodes. We're thrilled to still be here. I don't just mean alive. I mean here doing the podcast. And thank you for listening to as many as you have. I know Jack's been with us for the long haul. And maybe Jennifer too.
Yeah.
But
okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thank you to you, however many of these you've listened to. We greatly appreciate it. And if you'd like a podcast, it's hello@adriftpodcast.com.